But right now, a very interesting book to talk about is called Media Meddlers. And we have with us the author. I'll explain that in just a little. We have with us Jim DeSimone joins us. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you?
We appreciate it. I called you the author, but in a sense, your father is the author of this book, right?
Right. My father wrote the manuscript in about 1976.
And this is the manuscript. It's called Media Meddlers. It's the real truth about the murder case against Reuben Hurricane Carter. And your father was the lead detective on this case, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, very true.
So let's take us back to that time, 1966. And this is at the Lafayette Grill. What took place that night?
Basically, in the middle of the evening, early morning, it was identified as two black gentlemen leaving a predominantly white bar in Paterson, New Jersey. It was a very racist time in Paterson at the time. And they walked into a white bar and blew away and killed three innocent people. They were sitting in the bar just enjoying themselves. And it was told that it was a retaliation for a murder even earlier that evening when a white gentleman walked into a predominantly black bar and killed the bartender owner because he had owed him money. And in police headquarters on the street, there was word of retaliation that you killed one of ours, now we're going to get one of yours.
And yeah. What makes this so notorious or noteworthy is that one of those folks that was arrested there, charged with the murders, was Reuben Hurricane Carter, at the time a professional middleweight boxer. So right away you get somebody who has a little bit of celebrity or notoriety, I guess, in this case, and that kind of draws the media to it.
Yeah, very true. He was a prize fighter. He was in the waning end of his career. He had lost his last three fights, but since he was 13 years old, he had been in and out of prison. He was a very violent man and was always in and out of trouble. And that night, he was the main. One that was convicted not once but twice for these mass murders.
And the book is called Media Meddlers. That's the title that your father kind of gave this manuscript. What made him want to, I guess, take time to put these words together for this story?
Well, basically, Bruce, what happened was during the course of the trial for our 10-year period between the first trial and the second conviction and after that, my father was questioned a lot, him and his counterparts, were vilified as crooked cops that were out to get Reuben Hurricane Carter. And that was the furthest thing from the truth. So after the second trial, my father was finally able to talk about it. And asked before that, because the trial was going on, he was not at liberty. And although he was being, his reputation and his honesty and integrity was being questioned, he couldn't say anything. So when the second trial was over with a writer, he wrote this manuscript, and he wanted to get out from trial transcripts and from all the investigation and not only the first trial, but the second trial, the true story about what really transpired.
Why were there two trials?
After 12 years, a champion of the cause for Hurricane Carter and John Artis, a woman named Carolyn Kelly, got them out on a technicality through the courts, and they were freed after 12 years. Artis was already out. But Carter was freed after 12 years, and the prosecution made a decision that they had enough evidence and there was enough firm testimony on the case that he was definitely guilty. So they opted to try him a second time. In between the two trials, a lot of celebrities got involved and a lot of the press trying to get his pardon and trying to get him freed. And basically, during the course of that timeout, the champion of his cause, this woman, Carolyn Kelly, had a rally that they were attending. He beat her up pretty bad and almost killed her. And after that, all the celebrities started to disappear and all the notoriety started to disappear. And the day of the second conviction, the courtroom was said to be almost empty.
What was it like for your family to go through these rather tumultuous times?
Well, my father was a very private person. He worked very, very hard. His reputation and integrity, and he never came home and talked about it. We talk about it now as a family, me and my sisters. My mom passed away in 2011, and she was against me publishing the book because she was nervous about any kind of retaliation from Carter's group, and that never happened, obviously. But when my mother passed away in 2011, I started to think about it. And then last year I was contacted by the BBC, who was going to do a 13-episode podcast regarding the murders. And at that time, I thought maybe it was time to put out the true facts. But my father never spoke about it. We've asked children. We never really heard. He came home, he left his job at the office, and this was never brought up.
Was that like it for most of his work? He kept his work at work because he didn't want to, you know, fill his family with all the things that he's seen and happened during his day?
Absolutely. I mean, today we sit here and we know for sure what he was going through, but he never brought it home. And I'll tell you the truth, I don't think there was much conversation. I was a 13-year-old kid, so I'm not really 100% sure. But I don't even think there was, my sisters and I agree, we don't think there was much conversation even between him and my mother about the trials.
Did you ever hear that, you know, that Bob, this is that Bob Dylan song that came out like in 1976, which kind of has sort of a, I don't know, a mythical quality to it. You got Bob Dylan, a very well-known celebrity, kind of putting his prose into this story, something like that. Obviously, yeah, you get a different feeling when you hear a song like that, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, the song, it's a good song. It's just the verbiage and the information in the song is totally correct. If you're incorrect, you go on my website, www.mediametalist.com, and we actually break down that song line by line, and we show through the trial transcripts and testimony that all the verbiage in the song is wrong. It's all false information. And this is information he got from interviews with Carter himself.
You have the title Media Meddlers, and I've heard in a document, or at least that your father kind of had put that phrase on there as well. When you look at that, and that was 50-some years ago.
The media, 53 years
53
ago.
Years ago as well. And locally here, we know of a murder case in the 50s, the Sam Shepard case, where the media was really involved. I don't know if the media seemed to always go hand-in-hand with some kind of court around the 25th anniversary of the O.J. Simpson trial. How that happens. Did you learn anything or getting any advice related to
that? Was the trial, the first trial was 53 years ago this past Monday. And there's definitely still interest. There's a lot of sensationalism and romanticism within the trials and within the case due to the somewhat notoriety of Reuben Hurricane Carter. But basically, I think there's no question about it. When I read the book many times over the years, and then when I finally decided to publish it, in a conversation, the publisher said to me, well, what are we going to call this book? And it's really probably the first time I really looked at the title my father had chosen. And when I saw Media Meddlers, I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, this is 53 years ago. This was the choice of his title. And it certainly doesn't seem like it's changed over the years.
Did this case, as far as you know, how did it affect your father through the rest of his life, or maybe how he did his job beyond that, or did he just kind of put it as one and move on to the next?
I'll definitely put it as one and move on to the next. I mean, he was a very dedicated law enforcement officer. His honesty, integrity was very important to him. They really vilified him as a crooked cop out to get Carter, and that was the farthest thing from the truth. But there's no question. My father was very good at getting done with his day and going home and moving on with his life. He was very dedicated to his family.
After going through this manuscript that he put together with a ghostwriter, what else did you learn about your father that maybe you didn't know, but as an adult you can look and see his words or understand what he was going through at that time?
Well, even now, people say that during the trial he made a lot of errors and he certainly did things he shouldn't. People forget that he also, there was a prosecutor involved throughout both trials. My father reported to a prosecutor. He was in charge of homicide. And just the reputation of my father, based on talking to a lot of people over the years, my father would never do anything to frame anybody. He was a strong believer in innocence until proven guilty. And it was proven that Carter was guilty. He was, as I said, tried once, tried a second time, convicted by two different juries, and he went back to prison for another 10 years. So my father, he was not capable of this in his own makeup and his own personality.
Did you ever think about getting in law enforcement yourself?
Maybe a little bit, but that came and went real quick. My father would have loved for me to be a criminal lawyer, but I ended up moving on into advertising, and I've had a very successful career.
Again, the book is called Media Meddlers. We're talking today with Jim DeSimone. He is the son of the lead detective Vincent J. DeSimone, Jr., who prosecuted Reuben Hurricane Carter and his accomplice as well. If people want to find out more about this book or this case and kind of look at some of those facts differently, where's a good place to get this?
Go on the website, www.mediametallurgist.com, and you can order it through either Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's a very riveting story.
Jim, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Bruce, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Appreciate it.